The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
We have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
The history of American politics, the most extensive, the most inclusive. It includes everyone. The most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in history. That's Vice President Biden, some comments that he made a few weeks before the historic November 3rd election, an election that went well into the month of November, 5 days before the media anointed Joe Biden as the president of the United States. And as we can now see, more and more evidence uncovered that that extensive voter fraud organization was in full swing on election night. We're glad that you could join us today on this chilly afternoon here at Edstone. Hopefully you're keeping cozy wherever you happen to be on this earth. We've got listeners, we've got viewers from all over the earth. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're going to start with a montage that Sam put together. Speaking of this extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization, it's interesting now when you look back on some of the video, the election night coverage, and all of the very unusual things that were happening. Many of you saw this, no doubt. If you watched the Fox News feed like I did, there were some things that really stood out that evening that were very strange. And of course, we've read about it quite a lot since then. But to go back and view it, this is just Wisconsin. Okay, leave aside the other swing states. Leave aside the other states where there was also a lot of voter fraud going on. But listen to the coverage on election night and on into the next morning coming from Fox News regarding Wisconsin. Clip 6.
City of Milwaukee says that they will have all of their votes counted by 3 a.m.
So I think you're going to talk about Milwaukee County. That would be my guess. The difference 4 years ago was 162,000, and we haven't moved a ton here. Statewide, the difference is about 100,000, 110,000? What do you see there?
I got 107,000. Try and simplify it. Milwaukee, what the New York Times is saying is 41% of the estimated vote is in. And right now they've got about 220,000 votes in.
Before that we were going to hear from the Milwaukee that they were going to do a huge dump of vote from Milwaukee at 3 a.m. Eastern time. They've now pushed it back to 5 a.m.
But why does it take so long, Arnon? I mean, you've got 70% of the vote in some of these cases, and they've been counting, you know, all of these ballots all day long. You know, why does it take so long?
An election today, right? I mean, they knew it was coming.
They knew it was coming. I think nobody anticipated the humongous turnout we've seen today.
Joe Biden in Milwaukee County, as of now, he's got 60% of the votes cast there. In 2016, Hillary Clinton was up by 10 points more. Is there 10% more votes here for Joe Biden? There might be. But at the moment, he is underperforming Hillary Clinton from Milwaukee County, which...
All right. Right now, again, the president leads by just about 100,000 votes and about 4 percentage points in Wisconsin. But again... still too close to call.
We mentioned before we started the show at 5 a.m. we're going to get a big ballot dump at 5 a.m. Did we get it? Because
we
it looks
some.
Like that for the first time, percentage points ahead, 49.4 to 49.1. He takes his first lead, does Joe Biden.
So that was after 5 o'clock that morning. I think it said 512 or something, that he finally takes the lead, Joe Biden. All the way up to that point, he was underperforming Hillary Clinton. He was bringing in, Milwaukee was going to go for Democrats, of course. He was bringing in about a 60-40 lead, Joe Biden was. And then at the last, you had the ballot dump, as you heard there. First, it was going to come in at 3 a.m. Then they had to push it back. Why did they have to push it back? I mean, votes are votes. They're either there or they're not there. A 3 a.m. ballot dump, and it was pushed back to 5. And what Joe Biden had to get in that dump was 80%. It had to be 80-20 in his favor in order for him to make up the ground. And wouldn't you know it, he just managed to do it. After underperforming Hillary Clinton from 2016, and even as Donald Trump was outperforming what he did in 2016, miracle of miracles, how did it happen? Well, it was the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. That's how. That's how he was able to pull this off. And much of that fraud. Never mind what the news media is trying to do to blot it out. And the way that they're going about this, to just try to blot. We've seen it before with Hunter Biden's laptop. That was right before the election. So it's like we were given a preview. All of this damning evidence, and yet the media just completely black. It was a blackout, a total blackout. And now President Trump, he gets on Fox Business yesterday morning for just one interview, and he's the president of the United States. And then you have the rest in the media just totally up in arms. How could Maria Bartiromo, how could she interview him? How could, she used to be a respectable journalist. Now she's just giving a platform to the president to spread his lies and deceit. That's how they reacted to that yesterday morning and all through the day. You can't even let the president of the United States talk. You can't even let him defend himself. And so he's out there, just him by himself with a small team of lawyers. And a few in the media, just a very few, that will even look into it. And as you'll see on today's show, it wasn't that long ago when everyone in the media, and Democrats in particular, were quite concerned about turning over our elections to these big voting machine and software companies. Relying too much on technology. We'll come to that, as I say. Just a quick update on some of the latest headlines. The Pennsylvania appellate court, or I guess it's the federal court. Yeah, the federal court that dismissed or would not hear the Trump campaign's lawsuit. That was on Friday when it was dismissed. So that could be on its way to the Supreme Court, although the president did acknowledge yesterday just how difficult it is to get your case heard at the Supreme Court level. We certainly are familiar with that ourselves. But then you know what my father has written as well about the kingdom's court, as I covered with you last week. Also, some unusual things happening in Georgia. There was this emergency order yesterday morning that all the voting machines in the state needed to be frozen. And then the judge came out a few hours later and said, I guess after the Georgia government was protesting, that, well, these are all localized. They're all at local levels. So how can you freeze them? How can you tell the state to freeze them when it's county by county? And so the judge, I guess, rescinded his order. And then from what I could determine or see late last night, then he basically put another freeze on these machines, saying that you can't reset them or delete anything on them for the next 10 days, a sign that maybe some of those machines will be investigated. Another unusual wrinkle to this story, as far as Georgia goes, evidently they've been running some kind of computer recount over the past few days. And yesterday, that came to a screeching halt when one of the Dominion servers crashed in Fulton County. So one of the machines just shut down. It just crashed. And so on and on it goes. All of this potential for foul play, and yet the media are out there screaming that there's nothing to see here. Do not let the president even talk. Make sure that you flag his tweets. Make sure that you say he's spreading misinformation. There was a piece at the Spectator, the American Spectator, just a couple days ago. This is coming from a pollster. He's writing this article, and he says, to say out loud that you find the results of the 2020 presidential election odd is to invite derision. You must be a crank or a conspiracy theorist. He says, mark me down as a crank then. Mark me down as a crank. This is a pollster who says, hey, the numbers do not add up. He's saying that something very strange happened on the night of November 3rd, in the morning of November 4th. I just played a bit of that for you. Something very strange happened, and it's reasonable. It's reasonable, he says, for Americans to want to know exactly what happened. He gets into the numbers, saying President Trump received more votes than any previous incumbent seeking re-election. He got 11 million more votes than in 2016, the third largest rise in support ever for an incumbent. So even with all of the cheating, he brought in an additional 11 million, 11 million that we know of. If the machines were switching thousands and thousands from Trump over to Biden, it's undoubtedly a lot more than 11 million. And there have been more than a few, Sidney Powell among them, that have said he won this in a landslide. He won more even than these five or six swing states. This article compares what President Trump pulled in to Barack Obama. He in 2012, he was running for his reelection against Mitt Romney, and he brought in, and you know how everybody was fired up about the Obama campaign in 2008. In 2012, he brought in 3.5 million fewer votes than he received in 2008. So Barack Obama actually dipped a little bit. Other stats that this Spectator piece brings out, President Trump, he brought in 95% from the Republican Party. I mean, that's overwhelming. Every Republican basically voted for him. And then this article goes on and talks about how that he brought in the highest share of minority votes for a Republican since 1960. The black vote coming out for President Trump, he gained more than 50% over his numbers in 2016. And still, a large majority vote Democrat in the black community. But the president was able to peel away quite a few. 50% increase. It says Biden's support fell well below 90%. And that's usually the death knell for any campaign if you're a Democrat. If you drop below 90% of the black vote, you're not going to win that election. Donald Trump increased his share of the Hispanic vote by 35%. 50% among the black community, 35% in the Hispanic community. This article says bellwether states swung further in Trump's direction than in 2016. Florida, Ohio, and Iowa each defied America's media polls with huge wins for Trump. Since 1852, only Richard Nixon has lost the Electoral College after winning this trio. And that 1960 defeat to John F. Kennedy is still the subject of great suspicion. That's right. Kennedy was able to cheat in Illinois. And so he won, even though Nixon won the states of Florida, Ohio, and Iowa, just like Donald Trump did last week. Seems like a year ago in one sense, but also like it was just last week. But on November 3rd, he won. He won Florida, Ohio, and Iowa. And yet somehow lost. These are bellwether states. And yet he somehow lost the national election. This author says, Midwestern states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin always swing in the same direction as Ohio and Iowa, their regional peers. Has anyone, does that not raise a red flag to anyone at CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times? How that the president could win so easily in Ohio, and yet next door, Pennsylvania, or up in Michigan, you have these big, just like you heard, you have the big ballot dump coming in the middle of the night, hundreds of thousands, and all of them for Biden. It says here, current tallies show that outside of a few cities, the Rust Belt swung in Trump's direction. So there were just a few Democratic city machines that tilted the scales in the direction of Biden. It says Biden leads in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin because of an apparent avalanche of black votes in Detroit, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. It says Biden's winning margin was derived almost entirely from such voters in these cities, as coincidentally, his black vote spiked only in exactly the locations necessary to secure victory. As I was saying, the president was able to gain more from the black community, the Hispanic community, except in these crucial cities, where all of a sudden, I mean, the black turnout for vote was just off the charts, you see. Just in these few cities. It says here, he did not receive comparable levels of support among comparable demographic groups in comparable states. Biden, that is, which is highly unusual for the presidential victor. So he didn't get all of this strong support from the black community in other big cities. But what was so different about Detroit and Philadelphia and Milwaukee? It says here, we are told that Biden won more votes nationally than any presidential candidate in history, but he won a record low of 17% of counties. He only won 17% of the counties all across the United States. 524 counties, it says, as opposed to the 873 counties that Obama won in 2008. And yet, Biden somehow got millions more. I guess, what was the total for Obama? 68 million, I believe it was. That was his biggest haul. I can't remember if it was, well, I guess if he dipped in 2012, it would have been 2008. And Biden got over 80 million? 80 million! 80 million votes. And Barack Obama won all of these counties, 873 counties, compared to Biden's 524 counties. It says finally here, victorious presidential candidates, especially challengers, usually have down ballot coattails. Biden did not. It was just the only thing it worked against on election night, this shocking, miraculous victory for Biden. The only one on the Republican side that it worked against was Donald Trump. Everywhere else, the Republicans saw quite a few gains, great gains in some cases. The New York Times on Saturday said Democrats suffered crushing down-ballot loss across America. So they had these crushing losses, and that headline in itself prompted the president to say, you really want for us to believe that there were all of these losses for Democrats, except at the very top of the ticket? He says that this was a massive fraud, a rigged election. That's what he tweeted out. And he said as much on Bartiromo's show yesterday morning as well. Clip two.
We won the election easily. There's no way Joe Biden got 80 million votes. I just said there's no way Joe Biden beat Barack Obama in the black communities of various cities. And then he did very badly compared to Obama in other cities throughout the United States. There's no way it happened.
That's the president probably commenting in some about the Spectator piece that we're going through. How did he win the black vote in just those four or five cities. And everywhere else across the nation, there were more blacks actually that turned out, 50% more than what President Trump got in 2016. The Spectator concludes here. Every non-polling metric forecasts Trump's re-election. For Trump to lose, not only did one or more of these metrics have to be wrong for the first time ever, but every single one had to be wrong. And at the very same time, not an impossible outcome, but extremely unlikely nonetheless. He says, adding to the mystery is a cascade of information about the bizarre manner in which so many ballots were accumulated and counted. Just like you heard there. They're kind of chuckling on the Fox News report that night, remember? You heard it on the montage? Yeah. What about the ballot drop? You said there's going to be a huge ballot drop at 3 a.m. Well, that's now been pushed back to 5. And not one reporter says, what? Why would it be pushed back? What is going on? Are they being counted or not? To this point, he's running behind even Hillary Clinton's pace in 2016. Do they even know there's an election going on? They kind of joke, ha ha, chuckle, chuckle. This article concludes with all of, it lists all of these peculiarities, that's putting it nicely. The swing states, they stopped counting ballots. That was very, very unusual. And yet, as this article brings out, they stopped counting. Really, what that means is they told the poll watchers to go home, and then the counting continued. And then the shenanigans began, the nefarious activities behind closed doors. It says statistically abnormal vote counts were the new normal when counting resumed. They were unusually large in size, hundreds of thousands, and had an unusually high 90% and above Biden to Trump ratio. All of these peculiarities, and the press would have us believe that, look, don't even let the president speak. These are lies that he's disseminating. You have all the late arriving ballots, a lot of them with dates that were beyond the deadline, beyond the November 3rd deadline. You have the failure to match the signatures on those mail-in ballots. Georgia, they didn't even look at that. That's really the only way, that's the only layer standing against just outright fraud on a mass scale is at least match the signatures. Can't even do that in Georgia. And then there's the historically low absentee ballot rejection rates. I went through that with you last week. How that with all of these mail-in ballots, millions more than any previous election, that would have, I mean, just looking at the numbers alone, if you judge it according to previous elections, there'd be far more ballots rejected just because of, you know, errors or misinformation or wrong addresses or no matching signature. As it was, hardly any were turned away. Hardly any. I mean, just minuscule. That's not unusual. It says here, missing votes. That's another peculiarity. In Delaware County, Pennsylvania, 50,000 votes held on 47 USB cards are missing. 47 USB cards, just gone. Gone. They went missing a few days ago. It refers to Matt Brainerd's Voter Integrity Project and all the estimates that he's putting out there regarding people that are voting from out of state. The numbers, quite similar to what's covered here in The Spectator. The numbers just not adding up. You've got the cases of all these dead people voting. That's another peculiarity. And then the last one it gives is statistical anomalies. In Georgia, it says, Biden overtook Trump with 89% of the votes counted. For the next 53 batches of votes counted, Biden led Trump by the same exact 50.05 to 49.995% margin in every single bat. Once Biden went ahead, in other words, then the statistical separation remained exactly the same for the rest of the count. It didn't like edge up or down or anything. As soon as Biden was put ahead, then it was the very same until it was finalized. He concludes, finally, if you think that only weirdos have legitimate concerns about the findings and claims, maybe the weirdness lies in you. Maybe you're weird, and that's the thing here. See, the ones who have the truth, just like we've seen quite a lot this past year, the ones who are out there with the truth, the ones who are out there espousing the truth, they're the ones being blotted out. They're the ones being deleted. They're the ones being shouted down. The story doesn't even get covered. The president brought this out yesterday as well, clip three.
The media doesn't even want to cover it. I mean, you're doing something. You're actually very brave because you're doing something. The media doesn't want to talk about it. They know how fraudulent this is. It's no different than Hunter. They don't want to talk about Hunter. So they totally closed it off, big tech and the media, other than the New York Post, as you remember. We don't have freedom of the press in this country. We have suppression by the press. They suppress. You know, you can't have a scandal if nobody reports about it. This is the greatest fraud in the history of our country from an electoral standpoint.
See, and we've often tied in the spiritual dimension behind that, the fact that, you know, Satan the devil, really, he wants to blot out history in general. He wants to blot out Israel's history. He wants to blot out Israel. And as my father's explained before too, he wants to blot out his own history. He doesn't want his scandalous behavior exposed. And there's the president yesterday saying, if you don't have a scandal if it doesn't get any coverage, if people just universally ignore it, the corruption, the cheating, the lying, the deceit, if they just scrub it out, you can see what the end goal is. There's no scandal. Just listen to us. Just take our word for it. Everything was above board. Never mind what we were saying about election security before November 3rd. Never mind what we said for the past 4 years about legitimacy. Never mind any of that. You think about all that it took to trigger not just wild coverage, but a years-long investigation coming from the Department of Justice. Multi-million-dollar investigation involving scores of Democrats, Democrat attorneys, and then House investigations and impeachment trial. All that it took, for the most part, you've got a dirty dossier, a document that was just garbage. And what, some rumor that a guy overheard in a London bar? And that's all it took. Here, you've got piles of evidence. You've got evidence all over the place. You've got all of these irregularities. You've got all of these peculiarities. No investigations, at least not that we know of. There's some signs of movement coming from the DOJ, finally. But then no media coverage. Listen to CNN's reaction to President Trump's interview with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. This is how CNN responded to the interview, the fact that he had an interview, clip four.
You know, I was trying to think of a word that would describe that interview, and I don't think there's a word in the English dictionary to describe how reckless and irresponsible and dangerous that interview was. It wasn't, like you said, an interview. She was inviting him to lie and spin fantasies on her program, suggesting that he won, which is just, it's just delusional at this point.
It's just delusional. Nearly all Republicans believe it was stolen and rigged. And even 30% of Democrats do. But there's your commentary. There's your commentary. He's denying reality. You might have seen there on the Chiron. He's denying reality in this first interview since the election over at Fox. And what did the president say about Fox News? It's hardly watchable anymore. But here's Fox News, their midday reporter, his reaction to the president's interview as well. Clip five.
This election was rigged. This election was a total fraud. And it continues to be as they hide. And the problem we have, we go to judges and people don't want to get involved.
That is, of course, President Trump claiming massive voter fraud this morning. His words, they stuffed the ballot box. It was a, quote, fake election. All this despite the fact that his campaign has failed to prove any of this in court. In fact, your government, election officials, experts and others, many of them Republican, including Trump-appointed officials, say that the president's claims are false and unsubstantiated. He does, though, promise to reveal the alleged fraud in court, including a slew of affidavits from people who say they did witness election wrongdoing. But legal experts note, affidavits are not necessarily fact.
No wonder the president's switching over to Newsmax. What in the world? There are a lot of affidavits, but legal experts say that affidavits are not necessarily facts. That's the same reporter, by the way. I guess try to find out his name if I'm going to keep using his clips. But that's the one last week that brought on the representative from Dominion and just sat there, gave him a few softballs. The Dominion guy said, no irregularities, no cheating, no fraud here. And well, what about even the people working the election? You think maybe they might have cheated somehow or maybe we're up to some kind of funny business? And the Dominion guy says, no, I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine that someone in a position of authority would ever try to subvert our democracy. And the reporter's just there nodding along. Okay, sounds good. And then if you remember what he said at the end of his report, he said, there you go. Now you've got some facts about Dominion. Now you've got some facts. Now you've got some evidence. He interviewed the Dominion rep, who was just basically a rhino, a Republican, in name only. He interviewed him for 8 or 9 minutes and said, there you go, case closed. That's all that they need to confirm in their minds and hopefully in the minds of their viewers that everything was just perfect, totally secure. One of the pieces of evidence attached to Sidney Powell's filing in Georgia last week, it included 9 pages of testimony from Dr. Naveed Keshavarz Nia. Okay, so that's a difficult name. I'll just call him Dr. Naveed. Dr. Naveed, he's included as an expert witness in Sidney Powell's filing, and he is one of the top experts in cybersecurity. And before November 3rd, I mean, this was an individual who was highly praised in the media. They looked to him for expert commentary and advice and opinion. This is what the New York Times has said about Dr. Naveed previously. It says, Naveed, those who worked with him said, was always the smartest person in the room. This is from the New York Times. It says, in doing cybersecurity and technical counterintelligence work for the CIA, the NSA, and FBI, he had spent decades connecting top secret dots. So this was someone that, I mean, he's in the know. But now you see he's included, his expert testimony is included in Sidney Powell's court complaint or complaint filed in Georgia. And well, it's time to ignore Dr. Naveed. He must be a conspiracy theorist. He must be a radical kook. Listen to this from the New York Times. This is a report 2 years ago. This doesn't have to do with Dr. Naveed directly, but it does show how the major media, they were very concerned about how easy it was to hack into this equipment. Used all across Georgia, but all across the United States. as well. The title of this video was How I Hacked an Election. It's some guy that basically went in and showed how easy it was by using some kind of a college election for a president at a university. He went in and showed just how simple it is to manipulate these machines, to manipulate their output. Here's clip 10.
This is the same electronic voting machine used in Georgia and parts of Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas, and even in swing states like Virginia, Florida, and Pennsylvania. Millions of Americans voted on paperless electronic voting machines in the 2016 election.
So it's moving in this direction in a massive kind of way just in the last few years. And President Trump, as you know from his tweets going into the election, you add mail-in ballots to this, and I mean, the stage was set for fraud all across the board. Old-fashioned, using the media, using the technology. But now here we are, and the media's favorite is in there. They finally got rid of Donald Trump, they think. And it's only the conspiracy theorists who believe that election results can be manipulated. They knew. If they're honest, they would come out now and say, look, we know there's some vulnerabilities there. And in fact, we know the Georgia leadership, they actually made it easier to manipulate the outcome by lowering some of the standards before November 3rd. We know this, and we know we've reported on this ourselves. Last summer, there was a Dominion scanner. This goes back to a report from August of 2019. I think they had this they invited hackers to come in and see how easily they could get in and manipulate the equipment, and just some of the major news media reporting at the time. Salon had this article: hackers can easily break into voting machines used across the U.S. It's just easy. They proved it back in August of 2019. CNN produced a video on this where people explained just how they actually opened the machines and showed you on video. CNN showed us this. Just how easy it is to tamper with some of the results. This is CNN from August 2019, clip 11.
Yeah, there's a million different ways to interact with this thing.
Just kind of exploring like what's going on with printing.
This is the AccuVote TSX. It's used in 18 different states, 8 of which are swing states. It's going to start rebooting, and you're going to see that it's having trouble rebooting because there's no card reader. And now you have full admin access on this machine. So you can disrupt the election, you can disrupt people's confidence in the election. When you think about admin access, you can think about like keys to the castle. When you have admin access, you own the machine. You can get it to do what you want it to do. So you can imagine that being very nefarious.
It's just like, you know, some tech guy for a company. You know, our admin guys, they've got access. And that's the point that she's making there. If you're the administrator of these machines, then you have a tremendous amount of control. That's just the reality. You may have seen the machine. It said Diebold up at the left, the top left corner. That's a Diebold Premier machine owned by Dominion. This was a report from August of 2019, just a little over a year ago. This was when CNN was saying, look, this is a danger. We've got to be careful here. This is what Salon put together following this, I guess it's a conference or whatever it was, where they invited these young people to just come in and see what they could do to hack away. Salon says hackers also quickly discovered that many of the voting machines had internet connections, which would allow hackers to break into machines remotely, the Washington Post reported. Motherboard recently reported that election security experts found that election systems used in 10 different states have connected to the internet over the last year, despite assurances from voting machine vendors that they are never connected to the internet and therefore cannot be hacked. This is the familiar refrain coming from these companies. Oh, we're never hooked up to the internet. And they found out last year that 10 different states were. They just lie. They just lie. Or they get the Dominion rep to come on TV for 8 minutes and say, it's perfect. It works perfect. There's no possible way there could even be fraud. And so why is this even brought up? Whoever brought this up is a conspiracy theorist. That's what we're hearing. This event had 40 young people, children, teenagers, 40 of them were able to break into the equipment, the software. This is, again, from Salon. It says most were able to alter vote tallies and even change the candidates' names to things like Bob DeBuilder, CNN reported. This is CNN. This is Salon. This is the Washington Post. It says, finally, Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat, Oregon, toured the event and said he was stunned by how easily young hackers were able to penetrate voting systems. Wyden called for paper ballots that can't be hacked. And so add his name to Klobuchar and the others who were sounding the alarm last year as well. Remember the Senate report or the letter that they sent out to some of these companies demanding transparency, pointing out all of these flaws in the system, pointing to all of these case studies where the technology failed us. This is a Washington Post headline from last year. Hackers were told to break into U.S. voting machines. They didn't have much trouble, said the Washington Post. It was easy. And yet on November 3rd and 4th, according to the Department of Homeland Security, it was impossible. It was impossible. It was the most secure election in the history of America. This is from Vice at the time, a little over a year ago. Critical U.S. election systems have been left exposed online despite official denials. That's from Vice. And then this one here, CNN. Election officials' concerns turn to information warfare as hackers gather in Vegas. So here is this cybersecurity expert, Dr. Naveed, and he's in Sidney Powell's complaint. He's talking about just this disturbing and the murky background of these companies, not just Dominion, but Smartmatic as well. Going back to Venezuela or over to Europe. Here's part of his testimony. This is in the complaint. Intelligence reports indicate that the Dominion voting systems software was co-developed in Venezuela to alter vote counts to ensure President Chavez and later President Maduro were guaranteed to win an election. So this was part of the expert testimony that Sidney Powell was relying upon when she was out on the TV shows, as she was a week or two ago, talking about this very thing. This witness goes on to discuss Dominion and Smartmatic, and he says, based on my counterintelligence experience in the U.S. intel community, I conclude that corporate structures were partially designed to obfuscate their complex relationships, especially with Venezuela, China, and Cuba. That's why they tried to erase some of their connections to these shady organizations or governments. He continued, I have previously discovered major exploitable vulnerabilities in Dominion machines that permit a nefarious operator to perform sensitive functions via its built-in covert backdoor. Well, further on, he said that in 2019, he gives an example of just something that's happened previously, but he said further in his testimony that he had discovered significant anomalies are caused by fraudulent manipulation of the results. I conclude, he says, that the software algorithm manipulated vote counts forging between 1-2% of the precinct's results in favor of Vice President Biden. And let me just read to you his conclusion This is from his sworn statement, included in, and his expert analysis, we can add to that, included in Sidney Powell's complaint. He says, I conclude that a combination of lost cryptographic key contained on stolen USB memory cards, serious exploitable system and software vulnerabilities, and operating system backdoor and voting systems created the perfect environment to commit widespread fraud in states where these systems are installed. My analysis in the 2000 election, the 2020 election, from New York Times data, shows statistical anomalies across the battleground state votes. See, just like the Spectator author, the pollster points out, all of these experts, Matt Brainerd as well, the Voter Integrity Project, and then this expert, Dr. Naveed, the pollster who wrote the Spectator piece. All of this is to be dismissed? All of these people are conspiracy theorists? The President Trump is a conspiracy theorist because he's calling in and pointing these things out? They just want to erase it and pretend that there's no scandal there. He says these failures are widespread and systemic and sufficient to invalidate the vote counts. I conclude with high confidence that the election 2020 data were altered in all background states, resulting in hundreds of thousands of votes that were cast for President Trump to be transferred to Vice President Biden. These alterations were the result of systemic and widespread exploitable vulnerabilities in DVS, SCIDL, SOE software, and Smartmatic systems that enabled operators to achieve the desired results. In my view, the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible. In the expert opinion of this witness, this particular witness, he says the evidence is overwhelming. And so that's included in Sidney Powell's complaint. I'll just conclude this segment by referring you again to the point my father made about why this chaos is happening, why you see the United States at going through this particular crisis at this moment. It's like my father has said before, God is allowing it so that fraud can be exposed. And with each day that goes by, more of it is being uncovered. And it's to the point now where all of the legal updates and what judge said this and which judge dismissed this and which judge is laying down this injunction or which one is putting a freeze on those machines, it's hard to keep track of. And yet we're not even seeing one of these cases in the Supreme Court yet. That said, the president's team is certainly working under the gun. The clock is ticking. But what did my father say in this article? This article that, by the way, we began a massive ad campaign on today, which is very exciting for God's work. This article that's posted now for over a week, why he will remain America's president. He says in this piece, this means the nation's about to be shocked. I believe you are going to see frauds exposed like you've never even imagined. So it's going to be a pretty exciting next couple, 3 weeks as we see how all of this plays out. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Well, we all only have a few minutes left, so I'll jump ahead to some of our feedback coming from you listeners and viewers. This one here says, Dear Trumpet Daily staff, on this day of Thanksgiving, I'd like to thank you for all the time. This was something that came in last week, obviously. I'd like to thank you for all the time and effort you spend on producing and presenting the Trumpet Daily radio show. It is, without a doubt, one of the most informative and enjoyable shows I listen to. God is certainly doing a mighty work through His church, and you are all in my prayers. Keep up the good work. I've been waiting over a month to meet with a minister, but hopefully one day I'll be able to thank you in person for helping me through many dark and lonely months. Again, many thanks for the work and message that you're producing. That comes from, I'm not sure exactly which country that comes from. This one here, it says, thank you for boldly exposing the frauds and the deadly lies of Satan and his mainstream media. Thanks for all the research and the effort, be it a climate change hysteria or a COVID quarantine hypocrisy or constantly suppressing the law and order president and truth-telling people. The mainstream media is actually working as a weapon of the devil. Seeing all the injustice done at a higher scale, yes, injustice done to the president of the United States by the radical leftist mafia constituents such as high-tech scholars, celebrities, it's gut-wrenchingly painful. And there's a few other comments here as well. Another one, though, says, thanks much to your father for boldly and lovingly prophesying again, giving God's perspective on the events. It's awesome how the Most High, ruling in the kingdom of men and saving Israel temporarily through the hand of carnal Jeroboam, what great and everlasting salvation he can bring through converted members of the body of Christ. Another one here says, Satan is overwhelming mankind with lies, lust, and intense personal trials. This one, I'm not sure if this is connected to that last statement, but it says, in World War II, the fake media did a great crime against the humanity and have gotten even worse today. Many readers were deceived because they failed to prove all things. We simply cannot escape our individual responsibility. Sooner or later, we must face the truth. And he cites the Winston S. Churchill booklet by my father. Another one here from India says, thank you, Trumpet crew and the PCG, for being a light to this world. Thanks again. That's from India. And then this one here says, I enjoy your shows so much, especially the way you articulate words crisp and clear. Old ears can understand perfectly what you are communicating. It says, the fact that the church's view of political issues coincide with my beliefs is uplifting. I look forward to every broadcast and download it on my MP3 player and listen while walking in our neighborhood in Ohio. Your father's Key of David program and the Trumpet Hour are also listened to in the same manner. It says, finally, I also received the Trumpet Magazine, signposts, and many books and booklets. Mystery of the Ages is incredible. So some great feedback from someone who's obviously gone through a lot of our material. Another one here says, after listening to today's program, I couldn't help but notice the similarities between those supporters of Donald Trump abandoning him in times of trouble and 95% of God's people who didn't support Mr. Armstrong and God's church after Mr. Armstrong died. You know who your true friends are when times of trouble befall you. It almost looks like only 5% of Republicans and conservative media types are standing with him in this severe constitutional trial. Can't wait to see the radical left and traitors get exposed. Thank you for the Trumpet Daily. This one here comes from Pennsylvania, the battleground state of Pennsylvania. Says, I've been watching your program for quite a while by myself. My husband was reluctant to watch it because it's based on Bible prophecy. Since the election, we've been watching the program every afternoon, and he likes it. He likes it. My husband likes the way you present your material with clips and the information we don't hear anywhere else, and it's refreshing to hear the truth. A couple more short ones. It says, the fastest hour of the day. I'm thankful that the kingdom is another day closer. Have a blessed and thankful Thanksgiving, everyone. And thanks for another great program, TD. It says here, many good people outside your country feel for you, genuinely horrified at events. Thankful for the Trumpet team coverage. Well, if you'd like to email the show, as I've said so many times, you can send us a message to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.